Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Hallelujah. What a privilege and honor it is to be here. You said, hey, would you like to come back? We may not leave. We just like it so much. We absolutely love your pastors, love your church, and just a privilege and honor to be here. I say this with reverence, and I say this hopefully to not be cliche, and I don't say it often. I have said it a few times, but I try not to overuse it. I think as a pastor, you don't want to say, thus saith the Lord, too often, because you kind of want to hedge that. It's easier to say, I feel like God is saying, or I think the Spirit is saying, and I get that because I was raised in church, and there were weird people, if that's okay to say, that would say weird things, and they would say it with the caveat of the beginning, thus saith the Lord. And so after a while, I think pastors and people then begin to say, hey, I don't want to be one of those weird people, so I don't want to say, thus saith the Lord, and I want to make it a little bit more plain, which I love. But all throughout the Old Testament, there were these moments where people would say, thus saith the Lord, which meant, hey, this I don't think is just an okay idea, or this is not just something that I'm thinking, but I have been praying and seeking God, and it's more than a feeling. It's like if I don't say it, I'm going to get in trouble. And so the prophet would begin to say, thus saith the Lord. And I feel like tonight I don't have a title. I don't have a cliche little thing to say. I feel like I have for Horizon a thus saith the Lord for you and you, and now I feel like Oprah, and you and you and you. Is that all right? So Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 20 says this. Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Verse 20 says, then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. Verse 20 said, then times of refreshment. I feel like the thus saith the Lord for this church and this conference is there is about to be a time of refreshment that is about to hit this house. How many of you could use some refreshment? And Pastor Brad, Pastor Ali, I just kept on thinking and praying a time of refreshment. Letting us know, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says that there are many seasons. There's a time to dance. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to cry. There's a time to live. There is a time to plant. There's a time to sow. Yet in the New Testament, all of a sudden, there is the prophetic unction on the man of God, and he begins to prophesy and declare that come on, the season that is coming is going to be a season of refreshing. Proverbs 11, chapter 25 says, the generous will prosper, and those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. How many of you served at this conference? How many of you have served at this conference, maybe worship team or with the kids or whatever? Just stand for a second. If you have served at the conference, just stand for a second. You've served at the conference. Come on. The scripture says, those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. I thought I would at least get one amen. I thought I'd get at least, like, preach it, white boy, at least from three people. Come on. Those who refresh others will be refreshed. You're not going to be worn out next week. You're not going to be tired tonight. You are going to be refreshed. High five your neighbor and say, I'm already refreshed. You can be seated. Come on, give it up for everybody serving in the conference. Paul says in Philemon, chapter 1, verse 7, for I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Come on, we're not just coming here these last few days, just getting outside of the mean world, and we just, oh, it's so good that we can just kind of huddle, and we can just sing kumbaya songs, and we can just be here, and we don't have to deal with the world. No, God says he's going to do something inside of us, and we're going to leave this place, and we're going to begin to bring refreshment to others. Push your neighbor and say, I'm going to bring refreshment. Turn to your neighbor and say, in fact. Come on, I'm looking to see if you say it. Say, in fact. I believe you're going to bring refreshment to me tonight after this service by paying for my meal. Come on, somebody, say amen. Last scripture I just want to read, and I'm going to preach from this text. Genesis chapter 36, verse 24, in the New Living Translation says that the descendants of Zibeon were Aya and Anna. This is Anna who discovered the hot springs. He was refreshed in the wilderness while he was grazing his father's donkeys. I know that's a weird verse. And I said that's the text that I'm going to preach from. But I like the fact that it says he discovered hot springs in the wilderness. He found a hot tub, a spa, in the middle of the wilderness. Now, I told you on Friday morning, talked a little bit about my basketball career of high school. I probably averaged at least 2 points a game, 3 rebounds, but 1 magical assist. I could have never gone and played professional basketball. Like, couldn't have played probably professional American football. Not a lot of sports that I was good at playing. I'm really good at watching them, though. I'm so good. And I know what to do and tell them what they should be doing. But if there was an Olympic medal available or a professional sport that I feel like I could dominate in, I could dominate in sitting in hot tub spas. I am a professional. And before you discount that, there is an art to sitting in a hot tub correctly. I know some people that when they sit in, Pastor Brad, they can only handle it for like 5 to 10 minutes. And then they get out and they're like, oh, it's so hot. I can easily stay in a hot tub for an hour. Not only can I stay there for a long time, I know the correct way to sit. Because certain people just sit upright and they sit on the one jet. I know how to lean back and get the jet to get right in the middle of my back, but I also know how to stretch out my foot at the same time and get the other jet to give my foot a foot massage while I'm sitting there for an hour. When I come out of the hot tub, the spa, I look so good. I am so refreshed. And Rachel and I, as we travel and get these awesome opportunities, we oftentimes come to great churches like this, and it's so nice. Thank you for putting us up in that nice hotel, and the towels at that hotel are so thick. I don't know how I'm gonna get them all in my suitcase, but they're so nice. But one of the things that I will often do is to base it on not necessarily how many amens I get or how much fruit is in the gift basket. I will rate a trip on how good was the hot tub. And have you ever gone expecting it to be a good hot tub spa and it's lukewarm, just like Jesus shared about in the book of Revelations? I just spit in it because that's what he said you would do. But oftentimes, as we travel, we will pick out a hotel based on if they have a spa or not, because I am a professional hot tubber, gold medal spa person. What spa man? I heard that. Thank you. One time, Rachel and I were traveling, speaking in Denver, Colorado, which is in the United States, and it's kind of in the mountain area, and we were there, and as we were driving there, there was this big sign that said Natural Hot Springs. And if you're a professional spa man, that's like the Mecca of hot tubs. We had to go. And so we did. We put on our, what do you call them, bathers? Is that what you guys call them? Put on our bathers, our swimsuit, our bathing suit. What do you call them? Swimmers. We put on our swimmers. And we went into these natural hot springs. And as we were in the hot springs, it was so refreshing. Mountains, snow on the mountains, snow actually coming down, yet we were in the natural hot springs. Me and the wife of my youth. But while we were there, there was this quintessential older couple, probably in their late 70s or 80s. And when I say quintessential Colorado, Colorado is like known for, like, you know, the people that have only eaten granola all their life. Do you know the people that like don't use deodorant but use like hemp oil to smell good? Do you know the people that are just kind of, I guess we would call them hippies in the, I don't know if you guys, do you guys have hippies and flower child? And they were in this spa with us, and they started talking to us, and they were telling us that they had been in this spa once a week for like 20 years. And we were like, I mean, they're like the Yoda of spas. And they start to tell us that they've been there, and all of these different sicknesses that they had had actually had gone away because of the minerals that were in this spa. And they were like, we were getting excited, because then I was like, maybe they're not 70. Maybe they're 250 years old. But this hot tub is doing something. And so we're talking to them, and we're getting excited, and they tell us, well, this isn't the only natural spring. There's actually other natural springs, and you can go from each one, and each one has different things. Like one is kind of stinky. It's got sulfur, but it's really good for your skin. And there's another one that has a different thing. It's calcium, and it's really good if you get arthritis. They're telling us all these things, and Rachel and I are like, oh, Yoda, show us your ways. We're so excited about it. And so they said, well, you can come with us. And you remember that part where it was really important? I said, Rachel and I were in our swimmers. Remember when I told you there was that old couple? Remember, like, they could be 200? And remember I said we had our swimmers? Well, they did not have their swimmers. And stood up and said, come with us. And we're like, no, we're fine. We don't want any of that other stuff. I love this verse. When we think about and we prophesy and declare that this is going to be a time or a season of refreshment. I love this Old Testament verse. It says in Genesis chapter 36, verse 24, that the descendants of Zibeon were Aiah and Anah. This is Anah who discovered the hot springs in the wilderness while he was grazing his father's donkeys. It's a very interesting text. It's interesting because the King James Version, when it translated it different. But Saint Jerome, who was an early church theologian, when he looked at the original text in the Hebrew, he highlights that this word hot spring is a word that derived from refreshment, and it was a word that derived from fresh hot springs in the middle of the wilderness. And what blows me away about this text is found in an obscure list in the Bible that we normally don't pay a lot of attention to. And I'm not saying that everything in the Bible is not important. I'm just saying it's one of those that you kind of skim through quickly, right? When you're doing your daily devotions, you read this one really quick. Because it just is like a lineage of this person had this person, and this person begot this person, and there's just a lot of begats going on. But what's interesting is this verse about somebody finding a hot spring in the wilderness is not found in the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but this text is actually the lineage of Esau. And I know a lot about Esau because my name is Israel. And Jacob's name was turned to Israel. Interesting fact, I met Rachel in Bible school. I met Rachel in Bible school, and Rachel at the time was engaged to somebody else. I took a class with her called Old Testament Survey. She sat next to me, and as we were going through Old Testament Survey, we went through the story of where Jacob kissed Rachel. Now, I'm not recommending this as a good pickup line, but Pastor Brad, I underlined that verse with a highlighter, because that's what we did in the 90s. We highlighted verses in our Bible, fluorescent, and I highlighted it and then passed my Bible to Rachel, And I said, Jacob's name turned to Israel. Jacob kissed Rachel. And I'm just saying that a few weeks later, she broke up with her fiance and pretty much said, you can get with this or you can get with that. But anyhow, that's just an old song. And she said yes to me, and the rest is history. Is that a good pickup line or what? That's like next time you're going to see somebody, you're going to be like, go around in circles 7 times. And you're like, come on, walls of Jericho, come down. But this text, I got to stay focused. This text is in the lineage of Esau, who was a liar. He was a person who traded his birthright for beans. He was a person that, in a sense, he despised his birthright. Yet in the lineage of Esau, a person that was jacked up, a person who did things that were the opposite of what his parents wanted him to do. Instead of marrying somebody in the family, he married somebody outside, and he caused great grief in his parents' life, is what the Bible says. But right in the middle of this, in a sense, false narrative, right in the middle of a bad genealogy, comes a miracle where somebody finds and discovers refreshment. Someone finds hot springs in the middle of the wilderness. And I just wanted to bring that to your attention, because often the enemy will try to remind us of where we are and what our past and our history is. And I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter how messed up your family has been. It doesn't matter how messed up you are. We serve a God who can change the narrative. We serve a God who can change your circumstance. And your past does not necessarily dictate your future, because somebody in here needs to know that your best is still ahead of you. I'm the least likely candidate to be here tonight. When I was born, I was actually born addicted to heroin, because my mom was an addict, and she continued with heroin even while I was in her womb. At 9 months old, I was dropped off, abandoned. My mom, biological mom, biological father, got busted for drugs, gave somebody me, and I was then taken to a house. I had nothing to my name except a bottle of Coca-Cola, and they said a diaper rash that was up to my neck because I hadn't been changed in a long period of time. That was my beginning. That was my lineage. That was a look. If I would fast forward from that view of who I would be, for 2 years I was in and out of hospital because of the complications of being born a heroin addict. The narrative was not good. But can I tell you, here I am today in the Shire preaching about Jesus Christ, preaching about how he can transform your life. Come on, it doesn't matter what has happened, what the enemy meant for harm. We serve a God that can turn it around. Come on, push your neighbor and say, your past does not define your future. I love this text. I love it. I love weird texts in the Bible. I like this, that the Bible says, and just in a quick parenthesis, that it was Anna who discovered hot springs in the desert. Now, just in your mind, think about that. That word discovered is an action word. That word discovered is, in a sense, like trying something for the first time. It's an action word that is like not sitting and just hoping that something changes, but it's a discovering. We had a young man who was single in our church, and he was single, but he was looking to mingle, if you know what I mean. He was single, but he was wanting to meet someone, and he could have easily just stayed at home and just stayed in his apartment by himself. But the reality is he probably wouldn't find the person that he could date and then later get counseling and maybe married if he just stayed at home. He had to go discover. And so we talked to my wife, Rachel, and Rachel said the best way to find a lady is to, when we have our women's conference, you be one of the guys that serves. And when chairs need to be set up, you come in holding a bunch of chairs. When there's food, you be a server. When there's ushers and we need some ushering, you be an usher. Can I tell you that he discovered somebody because he didn't stay at home? He discovered. Maybe it's unemployment and you're unemployed. And you're wanting to get a job. You can stay at home, or you could type. I so dated myself. You could get a resume. You could fill out an application. You could go knocking on a door to see if they're hiring. But that word discover connotates that. Does that make sense? I'm looking for, I'm searching for, I just am not gonna stay where I'm at. I could stay, but there's something that is in me that says there's got to be something more. And I like that he discovered. I'm hoping that there's some people that came to Horizon Conference and you didn't just sit in a seat and you didn't just pay a registration, but there was something in you that said, God, I am ready for you to do something fresh. I am ready for you to do something new. I'm not just sitting, but I am here to get everything that you have for me. I'm wondering if there's anybody that is open to God showing up in their life. Two people, that's amazing. Come on, I like that. It says that he discovered. It's an action verb. It's a faith statement. I didn't fly from Los Angeles to just sit in service. This is so awesome. Australian's accent is just so cool. No, it's an honor, Pastor Brad and Allie, that we're here. But I'm getting way more out of this conference, being in the conference, than I could ever get from speaking. I came here on assignment. I said, Holy Spirit, I pray that you begin to fill us up. I pray that Rachel and I will go back different, and we'll go back to our city, and we'll go back to our church. Come on, I want an encounter. I'm looking for a God word. I'm waiting for God to show up in a powerful way. Come on, push your neighbor and say, discovered. I love it. I love that this, excuse me. That was so awkward. Did you see I had this? It was on my mouth, which would have been the perfect time to cough. And I moved it and discovered a microphone. I like this text because the surroundings, the Bible says, was a wilderness. The last place to find a hot tub, a hot spring, a spa, a place of refreshment would probably not be the wilderness. In fact, anytime you find a hot spring in the middle of nowhere, it no longer is called the wilderness, it's called an oasis. So this is pre-oasis, still wilderness. And if you and I are going to find times of refreshment, we've got to make sure that we're not just hoping that the right atmosphere shows up, then we can have times of refreshment. We can't be here praying, well, I pray they sing that song, because every time they sing that song, the glory of God shows up. They could sing the oldest, boringest, dumbest, off-key, need auto-tune song, and we can still find refreshment, because the Bible says that he found it in the middle of the wilderness. I don't think in Australia, but in the United States, we have these people that are like church feeler critics. Checking and tweeting and talking about the church experience as they've come into one church and then go to another church, and they grade the music. And they grade the preaching. And they grade the greeters. And it's like everything that they're basing their experience on is on the out. It's circumstantial. And I think that because we've gotten good at church, and we've got good production, and we've got good lights, and we've got good worship team, and we've got incredible pastors and incredible preachers, that what we have trained ourselves to do is to become, in a sense, addicted to what level of production we like. And if it's at the way we like it, then we say it was an anointed service. But this guy, it was in the middle of the wilderness, and he was still able to find a hot spring. I'm wondering if there's anybody in here that would no longer be a thermometer and gauge the atmosphere, but maybe we could become thermostats and we could be like this guy and say, even if the atmosphere is messed up, there's some praisers, there's some shouters, there's some people that say, despite the circumstances, I'm still gonna get refreshed from God. Does that make sense? Too circumstantial. We're just weenies. Can I say that? Scratch that from the recording. We're just wimpy. Is that a better word? We're just too wimpy. This guy found a hot tub, a hot spring in the middle of the wilderness. Yeah. We've had people leave our church in LA because the air conditioning was on too much. What? Well, we become circumstantial before we receive the moment of refreshing. The other part that I like about this text is that it says he found the hot spring. He had this moment, time of refreshing in the wilderness while he was feeding his father's donkeys. Somebody say donkeys. Now, the King James often doesn't use the word donkey, but Shrek does. So everybody say donkey. Come on, say it again. Say, donkey. I like this because donkeys are very difficult. If you try to say, come this way, they'll go the other way. Donkeys are notorious for doing the opposite of what you want. They are stubborn. And we probably, all of us, have some donkeys in our life. No, don't nod at your neighbor. But you can use your eyebrows and they'll never know. Truthfully, you probably work with a couple donkeys. You probably go to school with a couple donkeys. You probably in your life group have a couple donkeys. You could even in your family have a few donkeys. Everyone has one uncle that is a donkey. Don't amen, because they might be in the room. But the reality is this. There will always be difficult situations, and there will always be difficult people in our life. But the difficult people shouldn't keep us from having the moment with God that is a miracle in the wilderness. I don't know if I'm articulating this correctly. Just give me a second. Rachel told a little bit of her story. I told you a little bit of my story the last couple days. And my story probably, for some people, pales to the pain that you have faced. Some of your stories are so filled with hurt, with turmoil, with pain, with rejection. And we could do the Jerry Springer show here tonight and just talk about all of our dysfunction that we've experienced. And I'm not trying to belittle or even try to any way say I don't empathize with what you faced in your life. But what I am saying is all of us have a story of pain. All of us have a story. And if you don't have a story of pain, just wait a while. I'm not trying to rain on your parade, but the reality is every single person will go through a moment, because the Bible says that the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. There will always be an attack on our destiny. There will always be donkeys that try to keep us from getting the refreshment that God has promised. And you can just be a person still talking about what happened in 1976. You can still be talking like Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite. Still talking about if you would have just been put in the game. Or you can be a person that says, because of the blood of Jesus that happened 2,000 years ago, I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Donkey, you're coming whether you like it or not. Does that make sense? We're all gonna have difficult situations. And unfortunately, until Jesus comes back, there will always be difficult people. I remember when I first started pastoring many, many years ago. I remember having conversations with God, like, you just gotta get rid of this person. They were just a headache. Every time I preach, I get an email the next day about how I said something wrong or did something. And I just was like, God, I don't need them. And then next week, somebody else would do something. I'd be like, man, I don't need you. A couple of weeks later, man, I don't need you. And one time I had a pastor friend come and visit, and he's like, wow, the church looks like it's shrunk. I kind of had it. I don't need them. And he just had a good fatherly chat with me. He said, Israel, your church is always going to be made of people. And there are always going to be issues. In fact, a sign of a healthy church is that there are issues. Because if there's not, you better watch out. And we'll always have some donkeys in our life. Some of them we're going to have to kick to keep going. Some of them we're going to have to pull to keep going. Some of them we're going to have to trick. I got a carrot. You want a carrot? You want a turkey treat? You want a cheese on your crusty? Come on, you want something? I don't know what, but we'll always have difficult people. But this verse is a verse where somebody, despite the circumstance, despite the donkey, he still discovered a hot spring in the middle of the wilderness. And can I tell you, I am determined, because come on, ain't anybody going to talk me out of what God is going to do in my life. And I have a history of people disappointing me. I have a history of some donkeys in my life. But by the grace of God, I'm here today, still standing, still being refreshed, still being changed. And it doesn't matter what the enemy meant for harm. Come on, God can turn it around. God can turn it to good. And some of you have been abused. Some of you have been hurt. Some of you have been lied about. Some of you have been cheated on. But I'm here to tell you, your best is still yet to come. And the enemy is not gonna win. You will find a moment, a time of refreshing. This is your year. This is open heaven. This is your moment, and no man can take it away. Come on, if you believe it, say yes. I love this text. I just have a couple more. Is that all right? Just a couple more. I love this text. Pastor Esther, I thought you were going to preach my message this morning. But I like this text because it says that they discovered the hot springs in the wilderness while he was grazing his father's donkeys. Somebody say grazing. I am a terrible grazer. What I mean by that is, how do I say this? I travel a lot, and I'm like a go person. So what you were saying was so good, Pastor Esther. I just go. And so I'll travel and I'll get home and been gone for a couple days. As soon as I get home, Uber from the airport, get home, kiss my wife, tell her I love her, see my kids, I immediately grab my car keys, look what's in the refrigerator, and go, I gotta get to the store. And Rachel's like, where are you going? I'm like, well, I gotta get milk and I gotta get this. I've become addicted to going. I just go. And Rachel's like, you just got home. Stay. Oh, okay. When we eat, the most frustrating thing to me is going out to eat, and in America, they don't bring you your check right away. Like, I'm done. I've eaten. Give me the bill so that I can leave. But my wife has friends like Franca who are Italian. And when you go out with Italians, they don't just sit to eat. They don't just sit to just have a meal. They sit there for the atmosphere. They sit there to hang. And what should only take 15 minutes takes an hour and a half to 2 hours. And I just sit there and I'm like, oh my goodness. Today I was actually with them, and when your husband got up to go, I was like the strong German that he is, Pastor Matt Hines. I was like, yes, my people. Let's go conquer the world. I don't want to graze. But this story of finding refreshing didn't happen because he was in a hurry. It happened because he was grazing. He was waiting. He was going. And I yell at my worship leader sometimes. I'm like, land the plane. Land it. Because sometimes they'll just, my Mikey, our worship guy, he'll just be in the spirit. And oh, hallelujah. And oh, glory come. And I'm like, land the plane. Please. But it's in the grazing where miracles take place. It's in the grazing that the Holy Spirit begins to soften your heart. It's in the grazing that you don't know the words on the screen, but you just begin to sing words that you've never sung before. And you just begin to say, God, I love you. And you begin to worship. And I hide my worship because I sing so off key. But every once in a while when I'm grazing and Mikey is not landing the plane, I just start singing a little bit louder and I start getting excited. In fact, there's somebody in here today. You were walking up the stairs and I was in the front row and I was worshiping, I was grazing, and I was moving because I gotta get into worship. And my eyes were closed, and I was just like, come on, God, you can do it. And all of a sudden, I realized I punched you, and I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. It was a holy punch. Take it, said Benny Hinn. Take it. We got to learn if we're going to get hot springs, times of refreshment in his presence, we're going to have to learn to graze. And it's not a Sunday morning only thing. Come on, it's a wake up in the morning and turn on your Spotify and turn on some worship and just begin to graze for a moment. Just begin to have no agenda. Just begin to worship. Not too long ago, I turned on the worship at our house and I thought everybody was gone. But midway through, I had been worshiping and they came home and my wife almost called 911 because she thought somebody was being strangled and they were like, there is a murder scene taking place. But as she came up the stairs, she found out nobody was being murdered. It was just me singing to the Holy Spirit, saying, Holy Spirit, would you show up? Would you please? Come on, somebody. This miracle took place when somebody had the audacity and the patience to just graze. Come on, can you lift up those hands towards heaven? Come on, we don't have anybody singing. Thank you, though, on the keys. That helps. Could you just graze for a moment? Can you just worship for a moment? Don't look back at the clock to see how many points I have left. Don't look at my next scripture reference. Just maybe for a second, we could begin to graze and say, Holy Spirit, I am ready for a fresh outpouring. I am ready for you to do something new. Come on, can you just begin to lift up your hands? Can you just begin to lift up your voice? Can you just begin to have a moment with the Holy Spirit? Next thing, and I promise you, this is not a product placement. You ever watched a movie and all of a sudden the guy's about to drink something and it's a Pepsi? That's called product placement. But this story is a story where it says that he was grazing his father's donkeys. Wasn't even his donkeys. It was his father's donkeys. I recently, this is my replacement, wrote a book called The Art of Sonship. And its subtitle is King David Had 20 Sons, but Only One of Them Reigned. This is a story that a son got it. He understood that it didn't have to be his for him to still be faithful. But he understood if he was faithful with somebody else's things, then he would discover a hot spring in the wilderness. Now, I just want to inform you that you see your pastors today and are in awe and are like, wow, and are like, how did they become so awesome? And they would never tell you, but the reason why they're so gifted today and why they're so anointed today, because there was a season where they were under somebody, and in that season they were just as faithful with somebody else's church, somebody else's ministry, and because they were faithful in the little, come on, the Bible says he will make you ruler over much. It's not by accident that they're so anointed today. It's by total sowing seed that they were sons and daughters in their previous season. I get people to say this all the time. Pastor Brad, all the time. This guy just recently wanted to do coffee with me in LA. And I went and did coffee with him. And he's like, Israel, I want to know, like, you get to go and speak at these different churches. I want to do that. How do I do it? And I said, oh, you want to go travel and preach to other churches? He's like, yes. I said, awesome. Does your church have like a Sunday school program? And he's like, yeah. And I said, you should go ask your pastor if you could help lead one of those classes. And he said, No, Israel, I don't think you understood the question. I see you traveling and going places. I want to travel and go places. How do I do that? And I went, oh, my bad. You want to go travel and speak? And he's, yes. I'm like, oh, does your pastor have a Sunday school class that you could serve in? And he's like, no. No, I don't think you're getting it. And I said, no, I get it. Because the first Sunday school class that I was ever given was 7th and 8th graders. And those kids did not want to pay attention. And those kids were angry that they were there. But every week I would fast. And every week I would look in God's word. And every week I'd say, God, would you give me an illustration? And it wasn't even my church. It wasn't even my moment. But man, I was going to be a son in that church. I was going to stand and do everything. And I'm telling you, I preached like T.D. Jakes to those 7th and 8th graders. I'm like, you will be loosed. I'd lift up my Bible just like Joel Osteen and said, this is my Bible. My daddy always said, I blow on 3 of them and say, I'm Benny Hinn. This guy was good at sonship, being faithful in the little will make you ruler over much. And I've never met anyone great that just got it handed to them. They have always at one point been behind the scenes. And here was Anna being faithful with his dad's donkeys, and God performed a miracle. Can I just encourage those of you who are being faithful in the little? The Bible says God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, he shall reap. And I talked about this a couple days ago, But so many people ask us, how did you get this good person to come to your church? How did you get that incredible speaker to come and be a part of your church? How did you get that musician to come to your church? And I have no qualms about it. I know that these people came not because we're more anointed or more gifted or we're the trendiest church or we're the new kids on the block in a sense. No. There are far greater churches in Los Angeles with far better communicators, far better worship teams. But I do understand the principle of sowing and reaping. And I have always, wherever I have been, have served my pastor. I have given that house, in a sense, my life. And God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, come on, you're gonna reap. And unfortunately, Instagram has ruined a generation because we see the end product and we want what they have instantly. And there is in the kingdom no instant success. It wasn't instant for Moses. It wasn't instant for Noah. It wasn't instant for David. It wasn't instant for Jesus. He didn't even start his ministry until he was 30 years old. Nothing is instant. Everything has a process and a seed. We've got to, if we're going to have these times of refreshment, we've got to make sure we're sowing those seeds. Is that all right? Last one and I'm done. Is this okay? I know it's last night. We got church in the morning. I looked up because I'm a nerd. I looked up. This guy's on his name. And do you remember from the text, it actually said there were two people. There were two brothers. One was named Anna, and the other one's was Aya. Aya's name in the Hebrew means, in a sense of crying out after, lamentation. Also, it means to say, oh, alas, or woe. Two brothers. One is a sense of crying, complaining, saying, woe is me. I'm in the wilderness, have these stupid donkeys, and why did my dad leave me with them? This guy doesn't discover anything. Never, ever talked about. His brother, the one who pulling the donkey in the wilderness, in his dad's stupid donkey in the middle of nowhere. His name means to heed. That is by implication to respond. It means to begin to speak. It specifically means to sing, to shout, to testify, and to announce. Maybe that doesn't mean a lot to you, but the complainer sees nothing. But the praiser. Don't get excited. Don't get excited. One of my associate pastors in North Carolina was just on the show, The Price is Right. Have you guys ever seen The Price is Right? He actually won a car. He won a car on The Price is Right. Favor ain't fair. Come on. But if you've ever been on that show, Rachel and I have actually signed up to be on it, but we haven't won the tickets yet. But I'm going to win, because if my associate pastor, come on, can, and it comes from the beard dad, come on, then hallelujah, Tesla, here I come. But if you've ever seen the show, they'll call somebody, and they'll call their name. Israel Campbell, come on down. When my name is called, I won't go like. Okay. Because Aya whine, complain. Can't believe I got my dad's donkeys. Can't believe I'm in the wilderness. No, most people on The Price is Right, have you seen them? They lose their mind. Haven't won a thing. Haven't won a thing. But the possibility of what could happen in praise is something that happens before anything has even changed, before the cancer is healed, before the loved one is saved, before the breakthrough in the relationship, before the family member getting healed. It's a shout. It's a praise that says, God, I know, even in the wilderness. I don't think you get it, but that's all right. Praise is so powerful. And most of us know how to thank God. But true praise is never reflective of what he has already done. It's looking to what he has the ability and the potential to do. The children of Israel didn't shout after the walls of Jericho came down. They understood the power of praise always comes before. The Old Testament says it like this: I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. What I'm about to get into is always opened with a praise. And Anna, can't you see him? I don't know, but I'm just picturing it on Blu-ray. He's got the donkey. It's the wilderness, but his name means to shout. His name means to sing. And can't you just see him saying, come on, I know you're a way maker. I know you can do something. I know streams are found in the desert. I'm wondering if there's anybody at Horizon who would say that thus saith the Lord is that there is about to be a season of refreshing. I wonder if you could stand to your feet. I wonder if you could raise your voice, and I wonder if just for a moment we could praise him in advance for what he's about to do in our family, in our church, in our nation. He's about to do it.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.